Call is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Sharon Costanzo with GMX Corporate, and we welcome you to our training call for this evening. Tonight, it's going to be about irrigation systems, both domestic and commercial. It's also going to be about agriculture systems, and which includes irrigation systems and pivot irrigation systems. So the people that are going to be giving you the training tonight are Jimmy Woodard from Texas and Larry Brown from New Mexico. So, gentlemen, let's begin the training.
Thank you, Sharon. This is Jimmy Woodard from Tohoka, Texas, south of Lubbock, Texas. I'm going to go ahead and start, and as we progress, Larry Brown will be interjecting his thoughts as we go, and we'll have some more information to give. And our intention is to share with you the tremendous, great progress we've made, the results that we've gotten with GMX products. I think a good way to start would be to maybe give you a little bit of how I've gotten involved. Go back as much as 12 to 15 years ago. We got to hearing from our homeowners, especially, or I did, and what was happening was is they were telling us how much better their yards, their plants were showing progress, how much better they were doing. And I got to thinking, and this is how I got involved, is that as we look at agriculture, there's about the only difference between a green yard and maybe a cornfield, wheat field, or a cotton field is that we run something other than a lawnmower across the land, trying to get something that we can sell for some money. But if it improved there, it's bound to improve in agriculture. Now, that's not to say that there haven't been several systems throughout the years installed with tremendously good results. But for me, that's how I got started. I then approached an individual who keeps very good records. He's had a drip system at the corner of a center pivot. Had cotton that was planted above it. His concern to me was is that he was having to use some acid-based fertilizer, a little acid to run through that system because he had the calcium buildup in the orifice, the outlets, the little emitters underground, and wondered if there was some way we could help. And so that was where we started. Now, ironically, as we progressed, his consultant, who had kept records for a couple of years before, came to him at least 2 weeks before normal from the last past years, stating that the cotton was growing tremendously faster and that at that time, as a management decision, they needed to put on a hormone, which is called PICS, and that would shorten the internode and let the cotton make cotton instead of such a bushy plant. And that's something that's very typical of the cotton crop. But we also found out that the production increased just as well as he was talking about the growth of the crop. So that's how we got our start. From that, then we have put on in circle systems, center pivots, if you want to call them, had tremendously good results there for all these years. Some of the things that are reported to us from the individuals that have put it on their systems, they report that, of course, the whole intent is similar to what we see with the homes. In other words, control of calcium. The calcium can stay dissolved in the water, and all the benefits from that is what then also helps with agriculture, with the drip systems and with the center pivots. They found that calcium buildup in their system was reduced. The calcium on their nozzles was reduced. These are the things that were things that would be immediate as far as helping them with that expense. But in so doing, then they noticed there was considerably less white buildup on the soil itself. In other words, the calcium was staying dissolved with the water. It went on through the system. It went on down into the ground and didn't build up on top. Calcium has a tendency to stick together itself, and then it's looking for a place to stick, whether that's on the system itself or whether it's actually on the soil itself. So therefore, it was soaking in. That's the things that they noticed. Well, in so doing, then, there was less buildup on the plants. In the summer is where they're having to water right on around through 24-hour system, especially the noontime or through the heat of the day with any kind of wind at all. They would see a little bit of white buildup on the plants, and that's not good. The plants can outgrow it, but it does have a tendency to maybe, I guess you'd call it scaldy. But they saw that as an improvement, and because of all of that, then they saw better production. They saw not only more production, they also saw a better quality, more uniformity in their plants. And that's got to be from the calcium itself instead of settling out on top and therefore causing those problems that it does. It's soaked on into the soil with the water. Calcium being a good mineral, if it could be absorbed by the roots, and that's what has to be happening, because that's the reason then they get better plant growth. Therefore, that's what helps the production. That also helps with the quality, the more uniformity going across. Larry will be talking about potatoes. My country is more with cotton, corn. We've had it on barley and some wheat, some alfalfa. Larry has some of that, too. And we'll be talking about his results that he's seen with his producers. But that kind of brings us up to the point that the producers report to us that soil profile, in other words, the distance from the top to the bottom of the soil, it improves the crusting that happens on top of the soil. That is reduced tremendously. Therefore, that lets the water from the irrigation or from the rain to percolate, to soak into the soil and penetrate on down. In other words, we have also seen that as on a circle system or a center pivot, or even with the drill, when we inject fertilizer, which is very common to do, that lets it stay more dissolved, carry with the water, which is all a plus. That's all a help. So these are some of the very great benefits that we see from installing the GMX systems on both drip and on center pivots. Like I said, better production and better quality, and this helps a bunch there. Larry, I'm kind of getting to a point that you may want to kick in a little better as to what you've seen in your experience.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. And I live up in the Sharon introduced me from New Mexico, and that's where I'm originally from, and I spend still half my time down there, but I do live in into Colorado now at the San Luis Valley, and it's where the very large agricultural area, so it's known for potatoes and grains, both barley and wheat, and there's some lesser known or not necessarily mainstream grains that are grown here as well, and then alfalfa. So primarily potatoes, grains, and alfalfa. And we have seen similar things to what Jimmy has been talking about. We started with some of the farmers here irrigating with the center pivot irrigation, and Jimmy's longer experience in Texas helped a few of the farmers here feel confident in getting started with it. But since starting here, we've seen the similar sort of things. The water just penetrates the soil better. It's much easier for the farmers to keep a good moisture in the soil profile where it's accessible to the roots. We've seen real consistently better early plant growth. We have had some years and some crops where they didn't necessarily get a higher yield, but they were able to raise the same crop and the same yield and save 10 to 15% on the amount of water that they used. So the efficiency of that irrigation water allowed them to grow the same crop, but with considerably less water. We were saving 30 acre feet in some cases, which translates to a lot of gallons. Most of the people in my area for farming are not using it quite so much for the hard water control and that calcium control as they are in Jimmy's area there in Texas. Not to say that that doesn't help them some with some crusting on the nozzles and so forth, but it's less of a problem here. And so what we're really seeing here and getting is the benefit to the soil and the plant growth. And that all comes back to the fact that when you run this water through the magnetic field, it reduces the surface tension of the water. And with that reduced surface tension, now it can penetrate the soil better. The plant roots can take it up better, and it's just a more efficient irrigation water. There are actually chemical additives, and there's ag chemicals out there that can be purchased for that same purpose that can be injected into the irrigation water to reduce the surface tension. So we're actually accomplishing the same thing as some of those chemicals, but with the physical treatment instead of the chemical. And of course, what that allows them to do is they don't have to pay for it every time they irrigate and every time they apply the water. It's just a one-time putting the magnets on, and then from then on, every drop of water that goes through there is treated. Reduces the cost of doing that sort of thing. I have a couple of research summaries that I've taken out here. There's more out there, and Sharon has more and more all the time from some of the international customers that she has, but this is a study that was done back in 1994. It was a thesis done at Cal Poly Pomona, and they tested irrigation water, three different types of water on three different types of soil, and they used the magnetic treatment versus untreated water. The big things that they were able to document was an improved sodium absorption ratio. They call that a SAR, and that helps with these saline and sodic type of soils. And also just the water penetrating the soil better. So their results there, what they saved 19% on the water, and the water penetrated the soil 22% faster. In a study published in the Ag and Biology Journal of North America, using magnetically treated versus untreated water on wheat in Egypt, the plants irrigated with magnetic water exhibited marked increase in vegetative growth, photosynthetic pigments, and moreover, that resulted in increased yields. Third study, in a study published in the American Society of Civil Engineers in the Journal of Irrigation and Drainage Engineering, the study was actually done in Iran. The irrigation with magnetic water was compared with non-magnetic water, increased soil moisture up to 7.5%. Then we have, with the GMX equipment, on a study done in India on a vineyard, where there was a main supply line that teed off in two different directions to do half the vineyard from each side. So one half was treated and the other was left untreated. Irrigation with magnetically treated water decreased the pH, the soluble salts, and the calcium carbonate contents in the soil. And that's what Jimmy was talking about, improving that soil profile and getting the lower crusting on the top and just a much, much more productive soil. It also resulted in the soil, the nutrients were much more available. The vine leaf area in the treated plants was much larger. The number of bunches of grapes per vine and the bunch weight per vine were heavier and more of them and heavier in the treated side, and that all of that resulted in about a 12% increase in the overall yield in the treated versus the untreated. So there's some good research out there. Dr. Cronenberg, in the article that we're also familiar with, Magnetized, towards the very end of that article, he talks about many years ago at California University trials with piglets and pigs growing faster with treated versus untreated water. One of my great experiences in GMX was the ability to meet an Israeli dairyman who had experienced a 30% increase in milk production with his cows. And I got to meet him at a conference and talk to him individually because my background is livestock. And I was trying to get and find out, was it because the minerals were more metabolizable and their nutrition better? And he said, no, it's just because they drank more water. And that tends to be what we're seeing, the simplicity in the plants growing better, is that water is just more available. With livestock and animals, it just seems to be a better hydrating fluid and more palatable, so they're drinking more water. So those are the kinds of things that we've seen. We have seen some increased yields. I'd say about 60% of the fields here in our area that are using the magnetically treated water are seeing increased yields. It's starting to form a pattern. And on the fields that are very high-yielding fields anyway, We are not necessarily seeing marked improvements in the yields. Where we're seeing those really definite improvement in the yields are in the more moderately yielding fields. Let me give you an example. In potatoes here, what they call a yield of 500 sacks per acre, or in other words, a sack is 100 pounds. So a yield of 500 sacks per acre in potatoes is considered a very good and a very high yield. In those fields, we're not seeing much of an increase. But in the fields that are getting, that are naturally or normally before the treatment, we're getting 400 or 420 sacks per acre. Those are the ones that we're seeing increase anywhere from 10 to 15% increase in the yields on those kinds of things. Likewise, in the barley and not so much the wheat, we haven't had that many wheat fields yet, but the barley fields, we have seen some increases. And again, we're typically seeing that in the moderately yielding fields, and they're getting a good bump in that. So with that said, Jimmy asked me to talk a little bit about how we install the magnets and what type of pipe. On the drip irrigation, there's usually a series of filters and that sort of thing prior to going into the drip tape or drip tubing. Usually there's enough pipeline after those filters and before it starts teeing off and manifolding to all the different zones that with one good treatment there, we can usually treat the whole field. Having said that, a lot of those are set up to where certain zones could be treated and certain zones could be left untreated. The center pivot irrigation, we have most of our customers, farmers, are installing the magnets right near the pivot point. Most of them are putting it on the horizontal part that goes along the ground right as it comes up to the pivot. We do have several that have put it on the riser, what we call the vertical riser, and that has worked out very well too. And now we've also had several that are going up on the actual pivot itself in what they call the first span, and they are cutting out a piece of the steel pipe and inserting a piece of stainless steel there and putting it on that first span of the irrigation pivot. The magnetic treatment does need to go on a non-ferrous pipe. So if it is a irrigation system with steel pipe, that does need to have a section changed out in order to install the magnets. And in that section can be PVC. Stainless, 502 stainless or better works great. Some of these irrigation systems are with aluminum piping, and the aluminum is fine. And we've had farmers do it basically with all of those different materials. Some are welding a piece of stainless directly in. Most people are inserting PVC or the stainless with flanges. Jimmy, I think that kind of takes me to a point that I'm going to turn it back over to you. If you can think of something that I didn't bring up, if you'll fill that in, and otherwise you can move on to the spray rigs.
Before we go any farther, Larry, would you explain how many units and which units you use on pivot irrigation systems and how many units and which units you put on people's yards?
Okay. On the irrigation systems, of course, it's still the diameter of the pipe that determines. By far, the majority of what we've done are 8-inch diameter supply pipes. And with those, we use 12 of the model 8000s. We are going 4 magnets long and 3 around the girth of the pipe at each location. So we'll put the magnets on. Of course, the 8000s have a north pole half and a south pole half. So there's 3 north pole sides of the 8000s on top of the pipe and 3 below. And then we move down 4, we leave a blank space of 4 inches, and then we, on the next 4 inches, we put another set of those 3 magnets, and we continue that and go 4 of these segments long. It covers about 28 inches lengthwise of pipeline, and that uses a total of 12 8000s. We do the same sort of installation on a 6-inch diameter pipe, but there's only room to put 2 around the circumference or the girth of the pipe. We still go 4 long. And so we have a total of 8 that we use on a 6-inch diameter pipe. There are occasions where we have gone 1 segment longer than that. That's kind of a choice of the farmer, and that would be based on if it's a situation with really difficult water conditions or something like that. We have had some farmers look at with some 10-inch diameter pipes. I'm not sure if I've treated any yet or not. Jimmy, I don't know if you have, but it's the same story there. On the 10-inch diameter, we still go the 4 segments long, but at that point, we have room to put actually 4 of the Model 8000s at each segment, and so those take 16 8000s to do that size pipe. As far as a home yard system or a smaller type of irrigation, we're going to always just go by the pipe diameters like we always have. If we've got a 3/4 inch or 1 inch diameter pipe or tube or even hose that we're going on, you'll use the Model 800s. And again, depending on what the situation is, anywhere from 2 is a very minimum if it's just a small garden or yard up to 4. And if we're talking about 1.25 inches or 1.5 inches sort of piping for maybe a little bit larger yard or garden, then you would use the Model 848s.
Yeah, I think so. And the only thing I would add to that, Larry, is that when you get into drip irrigation, quite often you'll run into like 4-inch irrigation line or the flow line or the supply line, main line, however you want to call it. And when we get to that one, in that one we usually think of, there'll be just the 8,000 a set, and you go ahead and put 6 in a row there on a 4-inch is what we find has come out best. As you've seen, I think that would work better in that case. And that's about the only one I saw that you might not have covered, but I think that would cover most everything that we do.
We also have using the Model 400s on half-inch lines, or if you would like to explain a little bit about that too.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay. What she's talking about there is, you remember, everything's according to size of pipe. And so when we get on the half-inch pipe, this can be used in quite a bit. Now, we're talking about agriculture tonight, so quite often where that may show up is in maybe same thing as a swamp cooler or evaporative air conditioner, but we see that in a lot of our greenhouses. We'll have sometimes they call it a wet wall. That's the air conditioning for the greenhouse. A lot of times that may get back as little as a half inch, and there's where our 400s can come in. And we do the same thing there. We will be putting it after the pump as it goes back towards the drip above the pads. As they go down, we see a tremendous improvement there. So the thing is to keep in mind is the 400s are for half inch and less, and as you think. As you begin to see, there is lots of uses in agriculture. It's a matter of looking and thinking outside the box at where we're going. With that in mind, I might mention one more use, and that is on our spray rigs. I've had some tremendously good results, and of course, when I say spray rigs, we're thinking of agriculture when they spray either herbicides or insecticides, but we also could see that as anyone who's using this to spray yards or commercial people there. But the thing is that we come in and we do size of pipe. On a spray rig, quite often, that's probably 1.75 inches. If so, we can get by with the 848s. We can, on 2-inch, we may need to change the configuration just a little bit, but we could also use 848s there. If you've got room and can brace it, the perfect situation would be to use the 8000s on that hose after the pump on the way to the distribution to the nozzles. You'll kind of have a little bit of an advantage there, because usually when the spray rig is shut off, it's recirculated. So if you get on that, what I'm talking about there, you'll catch it as it goes back through the pump, and we'll keep hitting it, which makes it an even better situation. The whole purpose is the same thing as we talked about on agriculture in the center pivots and the drip, is that we break the surface tension on the water. We do a physical change to the water. That lets the chemicals stay dissolved. Therefore, it should be the same concentration when we hit the end of nozzles as well as it is at the first nozzles, and that's a big plus. We also see, in our case, as I mentioned before, our water may be possibly a little harder. We have a lot more calcium content, and therefore the nozzles have a tendency to clog up or needing cleaning because of the buildup of calcium, and we can help that situation tremendously. Also, we talked about how that it soaks into the soil. Well, it also soaks into the leaves the same way. And so if you're trying to make it work better on the plant as we go there, that helps. As you're trying to, in our country, we defoliate cotton to take the leaves off so it can be harvested. So we get a more uniform spread of the water, which is the chemicals, and therefore we can get a better kill of the plant and that kind of thing. So it is a help. I kind of think the best way to look at it is that most farmers in a spray rig will be using a surfactant, a spray adjuvant or soap, something in essence to allow the water to be more absorbent. Well, that's exactly what we do. We've had some reports of even reducing the amount of foam, the tank mix that is required because of the foaming effect. So if the chemical they're spraying asks for a adjuvant or a surfactant, that's what we're doing, and we can make that work that way. So that's another use that we've had some tremendously good results with the GMX product in the farming industry. I've kind of covered spraying. Larry, do you see anything else we might talk about?
Well, you had mentioned that I might talk a little bit more about on the animal end what we've some of the things we've seen. I will say before I move on that a couple of the farmers that I work with using this on their spray rigs, the first and big thing that they're reporting back to me, Jimmy, is what you ended up with is the very obvious in the control and the reduced foaming, and that has been a great benefit to them. So I mentioned in the livestock some of the things that were tested at California University, one of those early on with the piglets and the dairy farmer that I got to visit with. We've had a couple of very interesting applications in turkey barns, turkey farms, and what there's a much newer story, I guess, or application in Minnesota. This is a very, very, very controlled scientific thing with the turkey farming. They have it down to a very, very tight genetic pool. They start them on a certain day. They go for a certain number of days. The contracts specify the feed and the feed value that you use. So this is a very controlled and very consistent thing across not only within a turkey farm from barn to barn, but also across all the different farms. And the goal is to, in a certain number of days, which is predetermined, to deliver a bird that is at a certain weight, just a pound or maybe a pound or two. And so this is a very consistent and scientific thing. But a turkey farmer up there in Minnesota who is a GMX distributor, put magnetics on his water, and that's the only thing different that he did, compared to everything else. And the first year he grew them for the number of specified days and delivered them. And they weighed anywhere from 3 to 4 pounds heavier than they were supposed to. And so whether or not that was a benefit that they got paid the extra pounds or not, I'm not certain because, again, they were looking for a very certain weight to meet their marketing plan. So the next year, what he did was he raised them to that certain weight and delivered them, and he was able to do that several days earlier. So in other words, either way you look at it, he was getting faster growth on the turkeys with nothing different except the magnetically treated water. And that second year was definitely a savings to him because he delivered the birds at the specified weight, but he saved several days of feeding and had so he had all that lower cost that he saved all of that expense. Very interesting what was happening there. Similar in Missouri, and this goes back to the 1990s, and we had customers there who used the magnetics on their turkey farm, and they put it on for the purpose of controlling the scale, the mineral scale buildup on their waterers, because when they, without any sort of control, the scale would cause the water to not work well, and it was just very dirty with the scale buildup on it, and they put the magnetics on to control that, and it did a job of controlling the scale. The waterers worked better. They never did really report an increase in the growth rate or the weight of the birds, but here's what happened as an unexpected benefit. It turns out that this water trough or the watering mechanism that had the scale, that scale became a very good environment for bacteria to grow. And so it was the source of disease that to spread disease through the flock. And when they got rid of the scale, they got rid of that environment to spread disease. And the bottom line is that they experience a much lower disease rate, a much higher survivability rate. And so they marketed more birds that they started with. And again, they became much more profitable because of that. So it, no matter how you look at it, it's the same as we've always said with GMX. It does some very great things, plus produces some positive side effects. And unlike anything else, it doesn't produce any negative side effects. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Jimmy and Sharon for anything else that they want to add to sum this up.
I might add real quickly behind that is that we hear the term precision agriculture, and that's where they're really calculating and counting every penny and trying to survive in the world of agriculture. And we definitely are a partner in that, in helping producers in all cases with many things, the bottom line being more dollars so that they can then survive the financial crunches that we're seeing happen all the way across. We definitely need and are at that point to help. We definitely have a place in precision ag. GMX can do the things that we've tried to cover here. Sharon, I think we're about to that point to where we turn it back to you and let you add or ask us what else we might need to talk about.
Well, I think you two have covered just about everything that we wanted to cover today, and I want to thank everyone for listening to this call. And at this point, this will end the call.